And the battle increased that day. Howbeit, the king of Israel stayed himself up in his chariot against the Syrians until the evening. And about the time of the sun going down, he died. Let's all bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you, Lord, for bringing us here together to sing praises to you and hear your word be preached. Lord, we ask you to please fill Pastor Jones with your Holy Spirit as he comes forward to preach the message that you laid on his heart. And Lord, we just ask you to please give us all ears to hear and hearts to receive the message. And Lord, we love you, and in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
All right. So, we're in 2 Chronicles chapter 18. So, what I'm preaching about this morning is being sensitive. The title of the sermon is Walking on Eggshells. Walking on Eggshells. We all know the people that we've worked in the workplace, or they're in your own family, that you have to walk on eggshells, so to speak. And what that means is you have to basically conduct yourself in a manner that's very, very careful so that you don't set off, you know, that certain individual that's hypersensitive or always getting offended, and they always flip out, things like that, right? You know, just thinking about this, those type of people are a drain on life. They really are. They're hard to be around because you know that you just say the wrong thing. Even if you're right, you know, it seems like it just doesn't matter. It's just going to bother them. It's just going to offend them. They're going to be upset. Go tell everybody around you. Just make your life a living hell. And so we're going to talk about that, why we don't want to be like that. And I'm not saying anybody in here is at this point. At this point in time, I don't think there's anybody left in here like that. But it does kind of help to understand this behavior because it's something that you can develop over time. You know, as you're reading the story here and you study the life of Ahab, he's got a lot of things wrong with him, but being sensitive was definitely one of those things. And he didn't get that way. He wasn't born that way. You know, something in his life made him that way. And I'll tell you, typically the way people get that that behavior is by being spoiled, always getting what they want, always getting the things that they ask for or desire. And so later in life, you know, they wind up getting sensitive. You know, you don't get your way, all of a sudden there's hell to pay. You know what I'm saying? So we're gonna take a look at the life of Ahab this morning, just kind of point out some things that he did that and talk about this. I've got 6 points in this sermon that are going to kind of help us understand the behavior and the mentality of people that are just hypersensitive. You know, you say something wrong and they're just out the door, or just ready to fight, just ready to flip out. In today's day and age, you know, with this whole coronavirus thing going on, you start to see this a lot more. You know, there's people getting upset if you're not wearing a mask, getting upset if you get too close to them, you know. And you say, well, what does that have to do with anything? Well, who do you think's making them like that? You know, the government's basically providing them with that avenue to act that way, you know. People that have their head buried in CNN and Fox News, and that's all they listen to, you know, by and large, they're freaked out right now. They're scared to death because of the various opinions that they hear from these people that they trust. And the result is they bring that stuff over here and want to fight. And I was talking to a lady, I think it was Thursday, and she was talking, you know, she works at St. Alphonsus Hospital. She's not a nurse, but she works in the office there taking calls or something. And she's like, I was at Fred Meyer the other day, and there was a guy standing probably, you know, 4.5 to maybe 5.5 feet behind me with no mask. She's like, if I could fight, I would have fought him. I'm like, how big was he? She's like, oh, just, you know, like your size. See, you're like 120 pounds, and you're so upset, you know, you just wish, you just covet that ability to want to fight some guy at Fred Meyer because he wasn't exactly 6 feet behind you. Yeah. Now, I get it. There's people on the other side of that as well. You know, I'm not just talking about these, you know, mask wearing man bun munchers that are around here. But, you know, that type of behavior is out there, you know. And the oldest trick in the book is to divide and conquer. Yep. Yeah. You know, and that's the people that are in charge, the shadow government, they're very aware of what they're doing. Very aware, you know, and they see how this is playing out, how they can divide society, and how they can turn people against each other. And one way to do that is to make people covetous, make people just godless, make the society just, you know, full of pride and wickedness. And the result is a society of hypersensitive people. Oh, you're not exactly 6 feet. I'll knock your block off. Where's your mask? So the other day I was at Albertsons, and this guy was driving by, and he's like, you know, because I didn't have a mask on. Like, get out of here, man. You know, is it really, are you really that sensitive? You're in your car with your windows up, probably 15 feet away from me, and you're just sniveling. You're just crying like a little baby just because I'm not wearing a mask, you know. But I've noticed that when I'm wearing my work uniform, people tend to feel like they can get one over on you, because you know that you're, they know you're a serviceman, you're representing your company, and they're like, oh, I could just say whatever I want to you, and you're just going to take it, And that's not worth, my time. I was just like, whatever. People are just going to be like that. But 2 Chronicles chapter 18, we're going to start reading in verse 7. We're going to go through some of these verses here, because I want you to understand some things about King Ahab. And you know, in the beginning of the chapter, it talks about Jehoshaphat, how he joined affinity with Ahab. And we talked about that in detail last year. So you know that there was a marriage there, and that brought him into affinity with the house of Ahab. And this is one of the problems that Jehoshaphat had. It wasn't a bad king, but this was definitely a problem that he had. This is what made Jehoshaphat not as successful later on in life, because he had a tendency to want to hang out with Ahab. Right, and then after Ahab, he wanted to hang out with the next king of Israel, and then the next one. He just had a thing for hanging out with the new evangelical of the day, the false prophet king of the day. And so it talks about that, and then we're going to pick it up here, because Ahab's like, hey, will you go to war with me? And Jehoshaphat's like, sure, your people are as my people are as your people. And so let's pick reading up here in verse 7. It says, and the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man by whom we may inquire of the Lord, but I hate him, for he never prophesied good unto me, but always evil, the same as Micaiah, the son of Imlah. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so. So right off the bat here, what do you see? You see Ahab here, right, saying, well, yeah, there is one guy that'll tell us the truth. Because Jehoshaphat's like, hey, I'll go to war with you, no problem. We're one team here, great, amen, no problem. He's like, but let's see what the Lord says about this. Let's get some truth. Let's just not walk into battle here if the Lord hasn't blessed it. And Ahab doesn't want to hear that, because he knows he's not right with God. He knows that he's a wicked person. He knows that God's only sending him prophets that'll tell him all the wrong that he's doing. And so what does he say? He's like, there is one guy here, because what happened is he brought his 400 guys out, right? And they're like, oh, yeah, go up and, go up to Ramoth Gilead and you're going to be successful, right? Anytime you got 400, prominent people agreeing on something, it's probably a lie. And Jehoshaphat's like, hey, there's got to be somebody else here that we can talk to, right? But look at verse 8, it says, and the king of Israel called for one of his officers and said, fetch quickly Micaiah the son of Imlah. And the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, sat either of them on his throne, clothed in the robes, and they sat in a void place at the entering of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets prophesied before them. And so then in verse 10, we get to take a look at this guy Zedekiah, right? He makes a big show. He makes these horns out of iron, and he makes this big dramatical showing, right? Saying, oh, you're going to win, and you're going to push Syria back, And that's usually the hallmark of a false prophet, when they have to get just really dramatic and really try to paint a picture for you to clearly understand they've got a ton of props. And I've got nothing wrong with using props here. But look at what this guy does here in verse 10. It says, and Zedekiah the son of Kenaniah had made him horns of iron and said, thus saith the Lord, with these thou shalt push Syria until they be consumed. Verse 11, and all the prophets prophesied so, saying, go up to Ramoth Gilead and prosper, for the Lord shall deliver it into the hand of the king. Right, and so they're just basically putting on a show. This is what you can expect if you were to turn on the 700 Club, or you were to turn on TBN, the Trinity Broadcasting Network, right, with Kenneth Copeland and Benny Hinn. They always have to have this elaborate show or this elaborate story. Oh, these guys in Africa, we raised them from the dead. We couldn't catch it on camera, but you just believe me, write me a check for $10,000. And they have their 400 false prophets, and they basically preach what the king or what the world wants to hear, what those types of Christian people want to hear. There's nothing new under the sun. And this is what Ahab likes. This is what he wants. This is what makes him feel comfortable as a king, hearing what he wants to hear, not hearing the truth. And so you can already see the stark difference between Ahab and Jehoshaphat. Look at verse 12. It says, and the messenger that went to call Micaiah spake to him, saying, behold, the words of the prophets declare good to the king with one assent. Let thy word, therefore, I pray thee, be like one of theirs, and speak thou good. Right, and that's basically the ongoing battle today. When we started this church here, I'm sure there were people that were like, I just wish that church would just preach, pre-trib rapture, repent of your sins, Zionism. These other Baptist churches around here, we're thinking that. They're looking at this church starting, saying, he's just going to tell the truth, and they hate us. Mm-hmm. Although, if you ask them, do you hate Shield of Faith? Oh, no, we don't hate anybody. Oh, but they do. They sure do, because they make videos and they mention us in little blurbs here and there, right? It's exactly what you got going on here. You got the false prophets begging Micaiah, You know, the guy who's got the stones, the guy who's got the courage, the guy who's, you know, not self-centered. And they're like, hey, this guy's probably going to tell the truth, and let's try to get him not to. Verse 13, it says, and Micaiah said, as the Lord liveth, even what my God saith, that will I speak. This is how this man was. Wasn't sensitive. Whatever God says, that's what he's going to say. Verse 14, and when he was come to the king said unto him, Micaiah, shall we go to Ramoth Gilead to battle, or shall I forbear? And he said, go ye up and prosper, and they shall be delivered into your hand. You might read that and be like, well, what's going on here? Is he being double-minded? Is he being sarcastic? Well, I think if you read the rest of the chapter, you'll see that he's being sarcastic. But he's basically just saying, sure, go up. Go for it, buddy. That's basically his attitude. He's like, go, do it. You know, go do it and conquer. You know, go in, go ahead. You know, because everybody knows except for Ahab that they're jacked up. That Israel's weak. They don't have the strength to do it, which is why he called the king of Judah in the first place, right? Keep that in mind. So verse 15, look what it says. It says, and the king said to him, how many times shall I adjure thee that thou say nothing but the truth to me in the name of the Lord? So he's like, okay, look, I know that didn't come from God. Just tell me the truth right now, because maybe he's got some idea in his mind that maybe there's just, maybe he's going to say I'll win this time. You know, maybe he's going to say something I actually want to hear. Verse 17, it says, I'm sorry, look at verse 16. It says, then he said, I did see all Israel scattered upon the mountains as sheep that have no shepherd. And the Lord said, these have no master. Let them return, therefore, every man to his house in peace. And the king of Israel said to Jehoshaphat, did I not tell thee that he would not prophesy good unto me, but evil? See, so he's like, see, Jehoshaphat, I told you. He just offended me. He didn't tell me what I wanted to hear. I need to hear good news if I'm going to go to battle. I can't hear bad news. I can't hear the truth. I can't hear what my faults are. I can't hear what my sins are. I need to hear good. I need encouragement. I need to listen to that motivational speaker. Right? I need to listen to Tony Robbins before I go to work every day. I need to listen to, who's another one? What's Jordan Peterson. Yeah, there you go. There's another one that's popular on YouTube. I need to listen to Jordan Peterson before I go to work or before I go to church or before I write my goal list out. That's Ahab's attitude. Positive only. If Joel Osteen was alive in his day, he would have been at this conference right here. You know that it's true. Verse 23. Then Zedekiah, now look at how sensitive he is. Because remember, Zedekiah just made this big showing with these horns, and he's putting on a display, and he's really buttering the king up. He's earning himself some points with the king, right? Then Zedekiah, the son of Kenaniah, came near and smote Micaiah upon the cheek and said, which way went the Spirit of the Lord from me to speak unto thee? Right? You see that? You see how sensitive this guy is? Somebody calls him out, makes him look stupid without even talking to him. All he did was preach what the Lord said. And everybody around there kind of has a feeling like, you know, this guy doesn't lie. It's not what we wanted to hear. But Zedekiah gets mad, and now he smites the prophet on the cheek. Verse 24, Micaiah said, behold, thou shalt see on that day when thou shalt go into an inner chamber to hide thyself. Definitely not what he wanted to hear, right? And that's kind of like this church, right? You know, some people have come in here before, and they want to hear what they want to hear. They've already painted a picture of how they are in the eyes of other people and how that they're perceived. They come here, they hear something totally different than that, right? They hear a warning like what Micaiah just gave to Zedekiah. Hey, you know, you're going to run and hide because you're a false prophet. You're a devil. You're a wicked person. And instead of just receiving that truth and humbling himself, he gets upset. He gets angry. And that's how some people are that have come inside of this church. They hear the truth. They hear a warning. Hey, if you don't do this, or if you keep doing this behavior, you're going to be a problem. You're going to get kicked out. You're going to backslide and just wash yourself out. Something to that effect. You're going to destroy your life. And all of a sudden, the hypersensitive person gets offended. And now all of a sudden, they start, you know, doing this. You know, you say, hey, how's it going? Oh, good. Oh, good. You know, basically giving you the signal, they're upset, they didn't like what you said. Now all of a sudden you have to walk on eggshells around that person, or you at least feel like you have to. Me being a pastor just for, you know, a year and a half, I've just learned it's just better to just get it off right away. You know, if I feel like if I can sense that, like I can sense somebody that is just that sensitive, I need to just push them over the edge, because, you know, they're just typically not going to get better. You know, if you've come here for 3-4 months and heard all of these sermons, talked with us before, during, you know, after the services and stuff like that, you know the truth, but you refuse to change, I just feel like it's just probably better off to just break those eggshells, just stomp them out, and just see what happens. See if the person's actually going to, you know, humble themselves or just take themselves out of here. Because like I said, those people are a nightmare to live around. You know, you just never know one thing you're going to say, which you didn't even mean any harm by it, is going to upset them, just going to offend them. So verse 25 says, the king of Israel said, take ye Micaiah and carry him back to Ammon, the governor of the city, and to Joash, the king's son. And say, thus saith the king, put this fellow in the prison and feed him with bread of affliction and with water of affliction until I return in peace. Remember, they have the same kind of rights as you do here. So they put him back in prison. Sounds like a pretty horrible place, feeding him garbage, you know, water, probably moldy bread, stuff not tasting very good. Verse 27, Micaiah said, if thou certainly return in peace, then hath not the Lord spoken by me. And he said, hearken, all ye people. Now you can leave your place there. Go to 1 Kings chapter 20. And so look at the attitude that Micaiah has there. How do you think he became a prophet of God? How do you think he became a great man of God? Because I would say that about him. Anybody who could go to prison with that kind of attitude, especially in this day and age that we're talking about here, has got to be somebody of strong character. Somebody who's not a snowflake, who's not sensitive, who doesn't get offended at the truth. I mean, think about the truth that the king just told him. Hey, you're going back to prison. You're not going to get, you know, beef. You're not going to be eating chicken dinners. You're going to eat bread of affliction and drink water of affliction. And he just basically keeps on going with the message. He's like, hey, if you return in peace, then I was wrong. And he's like, hey, people, remember that I said that. But notice the sensitivity of Ahab here. Notice what pushes his buttons. Anything that goes against his agenda, anything that goes against his leadership abilities. And I'll show you that further here in 1 Kings chapter 20. So this is interesting here. 1 Kings chapter 20, we're going to start reading in verse 10, but up to verse 10, Ben-Hadad, the king of Syria, he sends messengers to Ahab. And he says, hey, I'm going to take your silver and your gold. And Ahab's like, okay, whatever I have is yours. You can take it. He sends him another set of messages, says, hey, I'm going to take your wives and your children. And he's like, okay, fine, you can have them, right? And then he sends a third time and says, I'm going to send guys from the city. These are code enforcers. They're going to walk through your house, basically, and they're going to take whatever appeals to their eyes. They're going to basically what he's saying is, hey, I'm going to take everything from you. Right, and then he's, you know how he responds? He's like, look, I didn't deny you all my silver, all my gold, my savings, my 401k, my retirement. I didn't deny you any of that. I would have given you my wives. I would have given you my children. He's like, but I just can't have you walking around my house. Right, and that's kind of how he talks to Ben-Hadad, right? Now look here at verse number 10. It says, and Ben-Hadad said unto him and said, the gods do so unto me, and more also, if the dust of Samaria shall suffice for handfuls for all the people that follow me. So Ben-Hadad, he's upset here. He doesn't like the response that Ahab said to him, right? So he says, you know what? I'm basically going to come down there. I'm going to mop the floor with you, with so many people. And he's basically insulting his leadership here. He's like, the people that you have there in Samaria, they're not going to suffice. They're not going to be able to beat me, right? Look at verse 12. And it came to pass when Ben-Hadad heard this message. I'm sorry, verse 11. It says, and the king of Israel answered and said, tell him, let not him that girdeth on his harness boast himself as he that putteth it off. Now, that's one of the best lines that you could probably read in the Bible. I mean, that's like a Hollywood one-liner. That's like something Arnold Schwarzenegger would have said, you know. In fact, a lot of the one-liners they probably put in his mouth may have come from people thinking on this verse. I don't know. I'm just kidding. But, I mean, think about this guy's mentality here. He was just told he's going to have to give up his money. He was just told he's going to have to give up his wives, his children. He's going to have people come through his house and take all of his goods, right? What set him off, though? It was the attack on his ability to lead. That's what got him. You see, where's Ahab's priorities here? It surely wasn't on his family. At the end of the day, it wasn't so much on his money. It was on it was all on how he thought about himself. How he perceived himself in the eyes of his kingdom. When Ben-Hadad sent those messengers and said that to him, hey, I'm going to mop the floor with you. That's when he's like, oh, well, let's go, right? He should have said that at the beginning, right? But Ahab was a sensitive little person. We don't have time. We could study his life all morning long. But think about Naboth. You guys remember Naboth in his vineyard? When what happened when Naboth said, no, you can't buy my vineyard? He went home and he pouted and he cried. He was offended. And his wife, the horrible witch Jezebel had to say, oh, don't worry, I'll set men of Belial up and they'll take it for you. You're the king, just go to sleep, I'll get it done for you. Think about how sensitive that guy is. Think about what he would have been like to be around every single day. You know, you around Ahab, you mentioned something about his kingdom or something he's not doing right, he'd probably have you put to death. Or have Jezebel put you to death or something like that. But basically, I just wanted to show you that. You can leave your place there. I'm going to have you turn to Proverbs. Go to Proverbs chapter number 11. Proverbs chapter number 11. So again, what are we talking about today? We're talking about walking on eggshells, right? Those 400 prophets that we read about in 1 Chronicles chapter 18, they had to walk on eggshells around Ahab. And we've all been around people that we've had to walk on eggshells around so that they don't get offended, they don't flip out, they don't cry and start, you know, just whining to everybody else around you. You know, that is very difficult to deal with. And we should make it a point to make sure that we don't ever display that kind of behavior or that kind of an attitude, because it's just a drain on the church. I mean, you know, in these types of churches, you're going to have a lot of different people. You're going to have people that are newer to the faith, people that are older in the faith, you know, just people on different levels. You know, we meet together 3 times a week. We have activities and stuff. There's going to be times where you get offended. All of us in here are going to get offended. And I'm not talking about a serious offense here. I'm talking about, you know, these small things, things that just bother you internally. You know, I don't like how they put that, or I think they meant this by that. You know, I think he asked me what time it was because I don't wear a watch like he does. You know, that kind of stuff, right? You just wanted to know what time it was so you could show off your new Timex watch. Takes a licking and keeps on ticking. You know, that kind of stuff, right? Just reading too much into things, right? Those types of people. That is what I'm talking about this morning. Now, like I said, I've got 6 points for you this morning. And point number one is this. Sensitivity, in the form that I'm talking about, sensitivity is a symptom of pride. Let me say that again. Sensitivity is a symptom of pride. When you study the life of Ahab, what was it that set him off? It was the attacks or the calling out of his ability to lead, right? When Micaiah said, hey, you know, basically you're going to wind up going up there and you're going to die because you're not a real warrior. You're not really on God's side. You're making a big mistake here. You're weak. You've basically ruined the kingdom here. What did he do? He locked up that prophet. He put him away. When Ben-Hadad said, hey, you know what? I'm going to mop the floor with you. My kingdom is better than yours. That set him off. What was it? It was his pride. I mean, think about it. Did he have pride in his money or his children or, you know, the things in his house? No. It was about how he perceived himself. He thought himself to be this great king, this powerful leader. I've got the robe, I've got the throne, I've got the horses, I've got the chariots, and basically I'm the man. That was how he viewed himself. And when he got put on the carpet, when he got called out, then he got offended. And I'll tell you, if you think about somebody that you know right now who is sensitive, who you feel like you have to walk on eggshells around, I'll bet what you're going to find is pride, excessive pride. Now, I understand that we all struggle with pride, but those people struggle with pride beyond measure. Think about some of the people who have left here recently. Why did they leave? Because they perceive themselves up here and they perceive us down here. That's right. Right? You don't know the whole matter. You shouldn't be treating other families in the church that aren't as spiritual as you like that. Well, what does that even mean? All that stuff boils down to pride. They think that they know the Bible when in reality they don't, because they come here and they hear somebody who's read it 20 times preach it to them and they think, I don't like that. That hurts my feelings. That knocks me down a couple of pegs. That bothers me. See, when you come into this type of a church and you think you're all that and you're not, these things are going to cut you low. It's not me. It's the Word of God that does it. Amen. It's sharper than any two-edged sword. Right. The Bible says it pierces even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit, the joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Amen. It will offend you. The Word of God will offend you, but that's okay. You should allow that to offend you, because none of us should ever come in here with the view that we're above anybody else. Because as soon as you do, you are not sober thinking anymore. You are drunk on pride. And I will tell you, people that you have to walk on eggshells around, they have pride issues. Every single time they are stuck on pride. You're there in Proverbs chapter 11. Look at verse 2. It says, when pride cometh, then cometh shame. But with the lowly is wisdom. So what that means is that God entrusts the lowly of his kingdom to be wise, to hold wisdom. Not the people that are puffed up with pride. Not the people that are arrogant. You show me an arrogant preacher, somebody who's arrogant, like when he's outside of the pulpit, just completely arrogant, and I will show you somebody who is not wise. I will show you somebody who's not raising his family with wisdom, somebody who's not making wise decisions with his finances, somebody who's not making wise decisions with the church money. That is what you're going to find. Because when you call them out, guess what? Then it's war. Then it's going to be wartime. Go to Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, look at verse 18. It says, pride goeth before destruction, and an haughty spirit before a fall. You can see this in the story of Ahab. It was his pride, it was the attack on his pride that got him upset. That's what made him put Micaiah back into prison, right? And Micaiah must have knew these proverbs. Because what happened to Ahab? He fell. Why did he fall? Was it because he was super wicked? That's part of it. But it all boils down to pride. You know, people will come in to church or they'll come into your workplace and they just think that they are so much better than you. They think that they were born with better blood. I'll never forget this. I was riding the ferry one time with this person and she worked in an office with engineers. She was just like, you know what? I'm so sick of these people and how they view themselves. And I was like, what are you talking about? And she's like, I work with this group of engineers and they actually believe that their blood is somehow like just genetically better than the rest of humanity. Like they sit around and they talk about this. And they say, this is why that we were chosen for these jobs. This is why we make this much money. That we're better than all of these knuckle-dragging tool wrench carrying people down here. You know, because I was a person that carried tools. You know, most of the people that worked at the shipyard, obviously you worked with tools and you went on board ships and you did your job and went home. But, you know, there's a whole sect of people that never go on the ships or hardly ever do. They sit and they draw diagrams and they're necessary people. I mean, they have a very important job. But there's a tendency with those people to be really highly lifted up with pride. You know, they think, I don't know, because they graduated college or because they have to pass these extremely intense exams that they just, I don't know, they just get lifted up with pride and they just begin believing much more about themselves that they're just a higher state of human being. Like they've reached a higher state of consciousness than you could ever possibly imagine. You know, they believe that they have a little bit of the God gene in them, I guess, you know, that they're somehow divine. But I've met people that really believe that, that sincerely 100% believe that they are just better human beings. And you know what? A lot of these rich people, like these billionaires, like Bill Gates, George Soros, the Rothschilds, the Rockefellers, they do believe that they are so much better than the rest of humanity. They believe that, I don't know if they believe like Mormons, like they're going to be gods or something, but they look at you and me as cattle, as just straight dirt, slaves. It's a fact. It's just stupid sheeple. And you know what? The way society acts a lot of times, they're kind of right. And you know what the big problem is it all boils down to pride. It all boils down to being spoiled. This is why Uncle Sam wants to give you everything you want, right? This is why communist societies just promise their people, hey, let's just not work as much. We'll compensate you. We'll pay everybody the same. We can just all be equal. All that does is spoil a society, and then it ruins a society. Then it turns into like a Venezuela situation where you got to spend $200 if you want to buy an egg. You know, you want to buy a loaf of bread or something like that. Absolutely ridiculous. It all boils down to pride. People that are sensitive, they're easily offended, it's all because of pride. Because there's some view that you have of yourself that you are not willing to forsake, not willing to let go. If you're not willing to let go of that, then guess what? You're going to wind up always moving from job to job because you're just always offended. You're going to always wind up being the odd man out in your family. Or you're going to come into a church like this and just wind up getting washed out. All because you just couldn't grow. You didn't have the intestinal fortitude to say, you know what, I'm wrong. I'm ate up. I need to get right. I need to change. Look, every single person in here should have that attitude. Nobody in here is above the Bible. Nobody in here is above preaching. So turn to 1 Timothy chapter 3. Keep your place there in Proverbs because we're going to kind of come back to that neighborhood here pretty quick. Point number one, the sensitivity, being a hypersensitive person, what have you, is a symptom of pride. While you're turning them, read for you Proverbs 29:23, which says, "A man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit." Make no mistake, it will always be the humble person, the person who decides to keep himself in check, that is going to get the wisdom, and then in the end will get the honor. It's never going to be the other way around. People now that might have, you know, the crowns and the trophies and the glory and the media's backing and stuff, they're all going to get brought low, every single one of them. Someday Bill Gates is going to be swimming around in the darkness of hell saying, you know, to the devil, "Hast thou become as weak as we?" You know, high and mighty up here, wanting to force his vaccine agenda on the world today. But you know what? There's coming a day where that's going to be all brought low, all be, you know. And he's a guy who's probably sensitive. I'll bet if you were to know him, if you were to get into a meeting with him and talk with him and say something to him, you'd probably be surprised. You'd probably find out that he's actually a very sensitive person. You attack his ability to lead his company. You attack his ability or what he said. I mean, think about it. Why are these people censoring all the stuff about vaccines and about the COVID-19 on Facebook and YouTube? Because they're snowflakes. Because you have to walk on eggshells on those platforms. Because they're easily offended. That's why. And they're all full of pride, every one of them. And you know, don't let that bother you, though, because the Bible says they're going to be brought low. The Bible says that they're going to be smoked. So I wanted to show you this here in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And this is just a fact. Newer Christians tend to be more prone to sensitivity. It's just a fact. Okay, look at this here. 1 Timothy chapter 3, look at verse 6. It says, talking about the requirements to be a bishop or a pastor, it says, "Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride, he fall into the condemnation of the devil." So what does that mean? It means that God doesn't want somebody who's newly saved to become a pastor. Now, obviously, there's some wiggle room here. You know, there's some autonomy here to where a local church can say, "Hey, I would like a believer to maybe be saved 5 years or 7 years before I ordain him, or read the Bible 10 times through, or maybe 12 times through, or 15. You know, there's some autonomy there. But one thing is a fact is that they can't be a novice. Right? And I've noticed this, that a lot of new Christians, they get fired up and praise God for them. "You're welcome to come here. We love you." You know, but it seems like when that right sermon comes and steps on your toes, it's like, "Ah, man, I don't know. I need to get out of here." Because you're excited, right? You got saved. You found out the truth. Or maybe you've been saved for a while and you found out the truth about Zionism. You found out that's a lie. You found out the truth about the timing of the rapture, about the Sodomites, about all the doctrines that basically make us controversial, right? You find out something like that. You come to a church, you're like, "Yeah, I'm amongst believers." And then I preach about something like, I don't know, like church attendance or blasphemy or, you know, something that you're doing, right? And all of a sudden you're washed out. Yeah. And it's all because you weren't willing to let go of that view that you had of yourself. You have that Ahab mentality. "Well, I'm a king, you know? I mean, I got the truth. I know things that most of the world has no clue about." And you're right, you do. But that's only the beginning. And if you can't get that through your head, you're not going to last in a church like this. You're going to be like Ahab, calling up the 400 bozos that are over there or down there or at the Journey or at Stonehenge, right? That's going to be you. That's exactly what's going to happen. Turn to Psalm chapter 119. Psalm chapter 119. So the first thing that I noticed studying the life of Ahab is that sensitivity is a symptom of pride. People that you have to walk on eggshells around are filled with pride, whether it's pride about how they look, pride about their intellect, pride about their money, pride about whatever, their position in the world. It's something to do with pride. And if it goes unchecked, guess what? You will fall. So point number two is this. Sensitivity proves that you do not love God's word. Let me say that again. Sensitivity proves that you do not love God's word. Show me a person that's hypersensitive, that's always offended, that's just, and I will show you a person that's not only filled with pride, but a person who does not love God's word. I'm not saying you're not saved. I'm not saying they're not saved. But I'm saying they don't love God's word. I can prove that to you. Psalm chapter 119, look at verse 165. Psalm 119, 165. It says, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." So when I preach about blasphemy, or I preach about church attendance, or I preach about money, or I preach about, you know, any of these doctrines, and people are offended and you just won't let it go, here's what I know about you. You don't love God's word. where I preach about modesty or immodesty or any of these doctrines. Christian living, sanctification. I preach that, it offends you. You know what I know? You don't love God's word. Look at the verse again. Great peace have they. If you're easily offended at everything that I say out of the Bible, do you have great peace? No, because when you're offended, that hurts internally. You feel that physically, don't you?
Right.
Yeah. So you don't have peace. And why don't you have peace? Because you don't love God's law. You're not like David. Your heart is not seeking after God. It's seeking after the image that you want to build to impress other people. It's very clear. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. So the solution to not being a snot-nosed, sniveling snowflake is to learn to love God's word. Amen. That's the recipe. I should just close this sermon and just leave right now. And you just, there you go. There's your application. But we will make application with Ahab at the end of the sermon. But I just really want that to sink in. Great peace have they which love thy law. Just make the change. Just learn to love the Bible. I mean, why is it that hard? If you just force yourself to read it every single day, you know what? You're going to learn to love it. It will become habit. It will become a discipline to you. And you know what? You're going to grow. Because look, we're not Calvinists here. I'm not saying because you're sensitive, there's no hope for you. There's no way you can change. I'm not saying that at all. I'm saying you can change. You can make it right. You can grow. But it's up to you. I can't do that for you. You have to learn to love God's word or it will never happen. If Ahab would have said, you know what? You're right, Micaiah. We need to stand down. We need to strengthen the things that we have and get right with God. The outcome would have been much different. In fact, there was a time in Ahab's life where he did humble himself before God. And God said, you know what? I'm not going to destroy you. I'm not going to do all the things I said I was going to do unto you. I'm actually going to do them to your children because you did humble yourself. Think about that. You got to humble yourself. That's the only way you're going to get over being sensitive, all right? Go to Isaiah chapter 26. There's an interesting one there, Isaiah chapter 26. So point number two, sensitivity proves that you do not love God's word. While you're turning there, I'm going to remind you what Jesus said in John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. So Jesus is saying, hey, I'm going to leave you with peace. I give you peace. The peace that I give you is everlasting. The peace that I give you will help you. Not like the world giveth. Because the world gives and expects something in return. Jesus says, no, you can be saved for free. Guess what? You can also have the truth for free. And you can rest assured that his truth is unchanging. You know what? That's just another fact that proves that all of these modern Bible versions are garbage and that they're wrong.
Right.
Because they reflect the world. Yep. Isn't the world always changing?
Yeah.
Yep. Are we commanded not to meddle with them that are given to change?
Right.
Right? That alone should prove it. Those Bible versions, they don't provide you with the peace that Jesus talked about here in John chapter 14.
Right.
Because it's always changing and you don't know if you can trust it. Yep. You have to rely on the scholar. You have to rely on the theologian to tell you the underlying Greek meaning.
Right?
Right? The hidden Greek that nobody else knows but them. Yep. Isaiah chapter 26, look at verse number 3. It's an interesting statement here. It says this. It says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. You say, you know what? I am a sensitive person. It bothers me. I don't like to be like that. I feel like I'm in prison. I'm always bothering everybody around me. I'm always in conflict with everyone I go or everyone I meet everywhere I go. You know why? Well, first of all, it's because you don't love God's word. And second of all, it's because you're not putting your full trust on a day-to-day basis on the Lord Jesus Christ. You took the grace around. You got saved and you're like, all right, I'm good now. The rest of the stuff should just come automatically. It's not like that. You have to actually work on it. You have to put yourself in uncomfortable situations to where you need to trust God. And for some of you, that might mean more church attendance. It might mean soul winning. It might mean doing something for someone that you don't particularly like. But it's going to be something like that. You have got to go outside of your comfort zone or you won't grow. You're going to remain that sensitive person, right? Listen to this. Philippians 4, verse 7 says this, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That peace will only come from the rock that is found inside of this book here. That's it.
Amen.
When a pastor gets up and says, hey, the NIV puts it like this, but the ESV puts it like this, the NASB says it like this, all that does is provide confusion.
Yeah.
That doesn't provide any kind of stability whatsoever.
Right.
And so it's no marvel, it's no wonder why so many Christians you talk to today are on these antidepressants. Right. And you know, when I say that, I find out later on down the road, oh, you offended somebody in the church because you said that. What are we going to do? Just not have church anymore? Because you know what? I'm going to offend everybody in here at some point or another. I don't go to your houses and listen to your phone calls. I'm not the FBI, you know, trying to research your browsing history and writing these sermons. I read the Bible. Oh, that'd be a good sermon to write. Now, sometimes there are things going on in here that I'll address in a sermon. I'll admit it. That's my job, to be instant in season and out of season, to reprove and to rebuke and to exhort with all long suffering. But that's church. That's reality. I don't want a church full of Ahabs.
Right.
Yeah. I don't want a church full of people that want Micaiah to get locked up into prison. You know, save that for the commies.
Right.
Save that for the coward commies that are in this Treasure Valley that just love the theologian and the scholar and to wear long robes and have feasts of praise to themselves and the rock band and the smoke and all that garbage. Leave that to them. But you know what? At the end of the day, you know what they are? They're all a bunch of sensitive little snot-nosed snowflakes is what they are. You go knock on their door and, I already go to church. What are you doing here? Shut up. I mean, you're no Christian.
Yeah.
Right.
Is that, I mean, really, is that, you know, we're studying the book of Acts. Is that how other believers, you know, acted towards each other? No. You know, I could understand that if you're, you know, a Mormon knocks on your door, somebody preaching a false gospel. But, you know, a lot of times, even yesterday I noticed this out in Middleton.
Yeah.
You know, we knock on somebody's door. I already go to church.
Yep.
Yeah. It's right down the road. It's called Grace Evangelical Free. Cool. How you doing? I'm fine. We don't need anything. Wow. Okay. Sensitive much?
Yeah.
Easily offended much?
Yeah.
Because somebody with a King James Bible and the saved knocked on your door and just wanted to invite you to church, wanted to see if you're saved?
Right. Yeah.
You act like I killed your mom.
Yeah.
Turn to Matthew 13. Matthew chapter 13. And Jesus talks about this point here. About people that are sensitive do not love God's word. Matthew chapter 13. I know you're familiar with this parable here. Look at verse 18. Matthew 13, 18. Jesus says this, "Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom and understandeth it not, then cometh the wicked one and catcheth away that which was sown in his heart. This is he which received seed by the wayside." Now look at verse 20. "But he that receives seed into stony places, the same is he that heareth the word, and anon with joy receiveth it." So this person hears it, receives the word. Verse 21. "Yet hath he no root in himself, but dureth for a while. For when tribulation or persecution ariseth because of the word, by and by he is offended." This is the person who gets saved, who gets on fire, walks through this door over here, sits down. Here's a sermon about church attendance. Here's a sermon about sanctification. Here's a sermon about watching TV or what have you, and gets offended and bounces. Jesus talked about, look, you show me somebody who leaves this church because they're offended by a doctrine or something that I preached, that has to do with like Christian living, and I'll show you somebody who does not love the Word of God.
Yeah.
And somebody who's got something else in their life that is the priority over the Word of God. They don't wake up every day and think about God. They don't wake up every day and want to read His Word. And I'm not saying you have to read the Bible the first thing. I think it's a good thing to read some. I really do think that. I understand that there are situations where that doesn't work out, but you know, you should at least read the Bible every day.
Amen.
You can't tell me that you don't have time to read the Bible at some point within your 24-hour period,
right.
You do. But you know what? That could be enough to just offend somebody.
Yeah.
But notice, why do these people get offended? Yet he hath no root in himself. Here's the word, he receives it with joy, and then that's where it stops.
Right.
They never make that application. They never actually say, I heard what you said. You know what? I'm actually going to do that. I actually, you know what? I'm going to apply that to my life. I don't want to be like Ahab. You know what? I'm actually going to stop watching Disney. You know, I'm actually going to stop watching Hollywood. I'm going to actually turn the radio off. Root comes from application, from applying God's word. You have to work on that yourself. Like I said, it's not automatic. You have to put in the work. If you don't, guess what? This will be you. You will be offended, and by, you will be out the door. Go, let's see here. Turn to Turn to Proverbs 23. Proverbs 23. Let's see here. Point number one was sensitivity is a symptom of pride. Point number two, sensitivity proves that you do not love God's word. Point number three is sensitive people take things personally and end up believing the devil's lies and becoming discouraged. Let me say that one more time. Point number three, sensitive people take things personally and end up believing the devil's lies and becoming discouraged. You know, there's sometimes where I hear about things in other churches and it pisses me off. And I'll preach about it and somebody in here, I guess, is doing that. And I didn't know about it. You know, and they get offended and leave. Or they think, oh, he's talking to me personally. That's not always the case. I work like 60 hours a week. I don't have time to always know everything that you're doing, you know. I'm not trying to always make things personal. I'm coming after you. If you're that person, like every sermon is just all about you, all about you. What does that tell you? Narcissist. Yeah, exactly. It tells you Proverbs 23, verse 7. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. Look at the beginning of that verse there. For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. So if you think in your heart that you're something, when your conscience is telling you you're nothing, you know what? That's what you are. That is who you are. And think about these types of people, right? Look at the rest of the verse. Eat and drink, saith he to thee, but his heart is not with thee. They'll come in here. They'll go to church. They'll go back here. They'll drink juice out of these cups. They'll drink the coffee. But they're a little standoffish. Or maybe they stand over there in that corner.
Yeah.
Or maybe they come over here and they just, you know, do this kind of thing and say, hey, how you doing? Okay, good. Very good. You know, their heart's not with you.
Yeah.
Their heart's not with us. Why? For as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. He thinks he's better than you. Or she thinks she's better than you. And their conscience is telling them no. Or the Holy Spirit's telling them, no, you're messed up. You've never even read the Bible. You've never even read Matthew chapter 18. You've never even read 1 Timothy chapter 3. You've never even read Titus chapter 1.
Yeah.
You've never even read Genesis chapter 1.
Yeah.
These thoughts that you're having aren't coming from me. They're coming from your pride. And that's why you're sensitive. And it bothers them. Yeah. It bugs them. They're able to put on a show for a season. But the end thereof are the ways of destruction. Every single time, they wind up washing themselves out of here. Now, go to Jonah chapter 2. Jonah chapter 2. So I said, point number three is sensitive people take things personally and end up believing the devil's lies and becoming discouraged. Why? Because they refuse to accept the truth. So what are they going to accept? You're going to accept something. You're either going to accept the truth or you're going to accept the lies of the devil. Oh, he's talking to you. He's attacking you. He's attacking your family.
Yeah.
Right? And you're going to believe that. Look at what Jonah says here in Jonah chapter 2, verse 8. They that observe lying vanities forsake their own mercy. Now think about Ahab for a minute. What did he observe? He observed lying vanities. That's right. And what's a lying vanity? What's a vanity? Something that's empty, that holds no eternal value. Something you've heard, you all know what the term is. We've studied this before, vain.
Yeah.
And guess what all vanity is? It's lying. It's falsehood. That's what it is, okay? And people that observe lying vanities, like Ahab did, he observed the lying vanity that he was something, that he was a great leader when he actually wasn't, forsook his own mercy, and wound up dying a fool's death.
Yeah.
Think about some of the people who have left this church. What did they observe? Hollywood, sitcoms, the rock music. The things of this world, all of those things are lying vanities. And you know what? They forsook their own mercy. Because if they don't ever get right, if they don't ever humble themselves, you know what's going to happen? They're going to die and hopefully they're saved, get to the judgment seat and have nothing for them. And spend eternity saying, I wish I would have just stayed. I wish I would have just humbled myself. I wish I would have just applied the preaching. But I didn't because I was too stuck on myself. All because they observed lying vanities. And look, anybody in here can go down this road.
Yeah.
Just because you're solid today doesn't mean you're going to be solid this day next year.
Yeah.
It's a work in progress, man. You have got to put in the work. You've got to do the maintenance. Otherwise, you will fall.
Yeah.
Go to Proverbs chapter 14. Proverbs chapter 14. We'll move on here. Point number four is this. Sensitive people who are easily offended are weak and unsanctified. Sensitive people who are easily offended are weak and unsanctified. What does that mean? It means you have no strength. Think about the people that you have known that are easily offended. Let's just talk about the workplace. You know that guy who's always offended? Is like, I'm going to run to HR. I'm going to file a report on you. I'm going to tell on you. I'm going to do all this stuff to you, all because you said you didn't agree with vaccines or something like that, right? And they asked you the question, by the way. Right? How much work does that person actually get done? Yeah. Probably not very much. Right? You know, that's the type of person, you know what they do? They're the first one to run back to the boss and say, here's what we did today while you're finishing up the job. Mm-hmm. Right? You know what? But it's the same thing inside of churches sometimes. The same exact thing. You know, there's people that are weak tend to do the least. Come in here, oh, I'm all about soul winning. They'll go soul winning, you know, like 4 or 5 times. I'm great. Yeah, amen. But the whole time, they're doing all this other stuff. They're observing lying vanities. They've got an image of themselves that's higher than what it ought to be. And it proves nothing. It proves that they're weak. Or somebody asks them a question and stumps them a little bit out there. And then all of a sudden they're like, oh, I don't like that. I think most people around here are just attacking me. Oh, it's like it's just all about you. You know? Like what, we don't get that from time to time? Right. You know, there's some people out here that have been trained by their churches on how to talk to us. Did you know that?
Yep.
A lot of these new evangelical churches train their people on how to talk to Baptists. And I remember that from going to some of these churches back in the day. You know, they would talk about, oh, if somebody, you know, asks you, are you sure you're going to go to heaven today? You know, you need to say this to them and make them think about, you know, holy living and stuff like that. Well, there's all sorts of stuff that they're trained to say and respond to. And if you're not in the Word and you go out to battle and you don't have the right defense, you know, you might get stumped.
Yeah.
Just saying here. But here's the thing. Are you going to let that offend you to where you just quit? What are you a quitter? How is that going to help you out in life? If you're a quitter here, you're going to be a quitter in your family. You're going to be a quitter in work. You're going to be a quitter at life. So point number 4 is this again. Sensitive people who are easily offended are weak and unsanctified. Why? You say, why can you say that? Well, because of everything I've already told you. Because you're full of pride. You don't love God's word. Otherwise, you wouldn't be so easily offended. Proverbs 14, look at verse 17. It says, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly, and a man of wicked devices is hated. You know why Bill Gates is hated this morning? Because he's full of wicked devices.
Right.
Yeah. You know why the people hate these ultra-rich people? Because they're full of wicked devices. Because they're soon angry. But you know what? This doesn't just apply to them. This applies to us. When we get into this mindset to where we're just flipping out and getting angry over everything everyone says, that's a symptom that you need to do a pride check. You need to look at your own life and say, hey, am I bringing my life right now in accordance with God's word? Am I applying the preaching? Am I building that root? You know, am I adding dirt into that root? Am I trying to grow myself? That's the key there. That's what this is saying. He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. And you know what? Sensitive people are, what are they? They're like a firecracker, right? As soon as you walk up to them, I mean, you can just see that fuse. It's just lit. You know, just say something. There's people that have come in here. Boy, if he says this today, I'm leaving. I'm walking out during the final song and Brother Jeff's going to see me, right? You know it's true. I'm going to walk right out. We're going to make a show. I'm going to sit down and cross my arms and just, Do you think that those people are strong? Do you think people like that are strong in the faith? How many people are they getting saved? How much doctrine are they teaching their kids? What kind of example are they setting forth to the body of Christ? How many brothers and sisters of Christ are they helping out today? 0. They're weak. They're unsanctified. It's true. Being like that is horrible. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. 1 Corinthians is an entire book written to people like this. That are sensitive, that are babes in Christ, that refuse to grow. 1 Corinthians chapter number 3. And you know what? Again, Proverbs 14:17, that's Ahab. He was soon angry. But he was soon angry about the wrong things. Now, there's certain things we should be soon angry about. Right? Abortion.
Right. Yeah.
Sodomites coming into churches. Pedophiles being released.
Right.
We should be soon angry over those things. That's fine. That's okay. But when somebody's like, hey, you know, I just, me and so-and-so and the piano player, we just went to see this rated R movie, and you're like, dude, that's wicked. And you get offended over something like that, you're the problem.
Yeah.
And that's happened in this church. I've watched people in this church who are no longer here talk about, you know what, we're going to go to Regal Cinemas and we're going to watch this movie. Where are they today? All three of those people that I'm talking about right now are snot-nosed, sniveling, little, sensitive snowflakes. Yeah. And you know that's true. All this stuff just proves my point. But yet they'll sit back and say, he's mean, he's wrong, he's arrogant. I wish Pastor, you know, they'd say, I wish Pastor Menes would have just come here and left him back in Sacramento. You know what? He would have done it 10 times worse.
Yeah.
And you would have got offended 10 times quicker.
Right.
That's what would have happened.
Yep.
It's like, have you ever listened to him?
Right.
Have you? You've clearly never even gone down there.
Yeah.
Okay. It just blows my mind. It's like people meet him like once or twice, and then they think that they know him. Or they think they know everything about Verity Baptist Church. Look, if you go to Verity Baptist Church, you're going to get your face ripped off, and you're going to get your toe stepped on, and you're going to get offended.
Right.
And you're either going to make the change or get the hell out. And that's just the way it is.
Right, yeah.
So I don't know where I can't believe he sent somebody like Pastor Jones up here. That's so wrong, and he's just so arrogant and mean because he called out my sins and doesn't like rated R movies and Disney, blah, blah, blah. Shut up. 1 Corinthians 3, look at verse 1. It says, and I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat, for hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are ye able. So Paul's ripping their face off right now. He's like, hey, look, I can't give you the meat of the word because one, you're not going to get it. You don't have the foundation. And two, you're just going to get offended and quit and cry. Verse number 3 says, for ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envying and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? And you know what? You show me a place where there's a bunch of people that are super sensitive that you have to walk on eggshells around, and I will show you a person who is carnal. What do you think a person who is full of pride, doesn't love God's word, what does that mean about you? That you're carnal. That's where it leads to, carnality, like a Corinthian, a carnal Corinthian. Verse 4, for while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? And you know what? Facebook, I love these people, full of people who are saved. Hey, I'm of this pastor, I'm of this pastor. And they'll sit there and just fight and bicker and argue. Why? Because they're sensitive. Because somebody posted a meme or somebody posted a picture or somebody posted something from a pastor that they've never heard of before. And all of a sudden, all hell breaks loose. You offended me and let's start World War III. You got to be careful on social media. There's a lot of fights about the stupidest things on there. And you know why? Because people have this view of themselves that they, hey, I got a little shot of truth. I got a little bit of knowledge. And now, man, I'm way up here. I'm leading the kingdom, man. I'm good to go. And then all of a sudden somebody puts forth a little Micaiah truth and, ooh, ouch, that hurts. That hurt. But instead of just saying, yeah, you're right, it's, oh, well, you're a reprobate. You're a devil. Let's go. So let's move on here. Go back to Proverbs. Go to Proverbs 15. Point number 5. Sensitivity makes it difficult to receive counsel and hinders training and spiritual growth. Let me say that again. Sensitivity makes it difficult to receive counsel and hinders training and spiritual growth. People who are sensitive, one thing that I've noticed about them, wherever they're at, whether they're at church, whether they're in your family, whether they're at work, they are almost impossible to train. Until you can somehow break through that pride, or until they just say, you know what, you got me, you can't train people like that. You know the person that's like, oh, I already know that. I remember one time this guy asked me to help him with some wrestling moves. When I was in the military, you know, I just want to learn a little bit of jiu-jitsu after work. You know, I want to come work out with you guys at the gym. Okay, no problem. I was showing him some basic stuff. He's like, well, if you do that, I'll just do this. Okay, I show him something. Oh, well, if you do that, I'll just do this. It's like, look, there's a counter to almost every move, okay? But the problem is you don't know any of these moves. And I was just like, you know what? I was just polite. I was like, I'm really busy. I just never trained with that guy again. Because, oh, well, if you throw a jab, I'll just duck and do this. It's like, you know what that guy's problem was?
He just thought he was up here. He watched a few UFCs. He watched some YouTube videos with some Gracie Jiu-Jitsu guys. And all of a sudden, he just thought, man, I've got it made. Right. And I'm like, why did you even ask me to come help you with this training if you're not going to listen? I couldn't train that guy how to do anything. I couldn't. I mean, I tried, but he wouldn't receive the training. But you know what? There's Christians that are the same exact way. They get online. They hear a shot of truth. They get fired up. They come to truth. They think they know it all. And then you can't tell them anything because you're not their hero. You're not their fan. You know, you're not the person that they've lifted up on high. You know who I'm talking about? I'm talking about the fanboys.
Yeah.
Look, we love you. But one thing I've noticed, and I've noticed a lot, but one thing I've noticed since starting this church is the fanboys don't have a good track record.
Yeah.
Fanboys are 0 in like 5.
Yeah.
0 in 20. I don't know. I haven't counted it. But until you decide to become a real born-again, Bible-believing Christian who's going to think for yourself, read the Bible, apply the stuff in your own life because only you know you, you're not growing. You're going to remain sensitive because everything we say and do isn't like how someone else does it. Yeah. So point number 5, sensitivity makes it difficult to receive counsel and hinders training and spiritual growth. Proverbs 15:31, it says, "The ear that heareth the reproof of life abideth among the wise." So let me ask you this. If a person consistently rejects truth, rejects wisdom, rejects counsel, are they wise? No. Verse 32, "He that refuseth instruction despiseth his own soul, but he that heareth reproof getteth understanding." You don't want to be like Ahab. You want to hear reproof. You need to hear correction. You need to be told that you're wrong. If you don't, if you refuse that, you will go the way of Ahab. You will be destroyed just like he was. Verse 33, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." You will never get to the place of honor until you learn to humble yourself. Never. Turn to Hebrews chapter 12. Proverbs 6:23 says this, "For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and reproofs of instruction are the way of life." People say, "Teach me the meaning of life. Teach me how I should live my life." You know how you should live your life? Through getting your face ripped off, through reproof, and through instruction. Proverbs 6:23 is very, very, very clear. That is the way of life. You say, "I want to be wise. I want to know the way of life. I want to know how things work. I want to be that cut above." You know what? You need to get your face ripped off. You need to hear reproofs of instruction because the Bible says that that is the way of life. So when somebody who wants to just talk to me for hours on end about the ways of life and they don't go to church, they don't love God, you know what? I just tune that person out. You know, there's people at my work that are always tweeting little things to try to help you out in life. Just cut that stuff right off. I don't even pay any attention to it. In fact, the guy said, "You don't read these things at all, do you?" I was like, "No." If it's not like directly to me, I don't want anything to do with it. He just starts shaking his head. I was like, "Man." Because you're not going to give any kind of reproof from the Bible.
Right.
I'll listen to you when it comes to technical stuff, but not about how to live my life. Are you crazy?
Yeah.
what wisdom do you have? You've never even read the Bible one time. And I understand this verse, "For the commandment is a lamp. The commandments of God are light. They are what protect you as you walk through life. They are what keep you safe." It's the commandments. It's not the government. It's not the cops. It's this book right here. It's the commandments. They are the light, it says. And it says the law is light and reproofs of instruction are the ways of life. So let's move on here. Hebrews chapter 12, look at verse 11. It says, "Now no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." The Bible is very clear. Look, getting your face ripped off, getting chastened by God is not fun at the present time, but the results last forever. That's what it says. The fruits of that last for eternity. Look, I say this all the time. You're going to spend more time in eternity than you are in this body. You could walk out of this church today and it could be your last day on earth. Are you ready? Are you ready to spend eternity in heaven? Are you satisfied with what you've done? Are you satisfied with how you conduct yourself as a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, a royal priest? Or not? If not, That's okay. Make the changes. Turn to 1 Kings 18 one more time. And we're almost done. Why turn there? I'm going to read you one more verse about this point here, and that's Proverbs 4:13, which says, take fast hold of instruction, let her not go, keep her, for she is thy life. Look, instruction is the life of the believer. You cannot be successful for God without biblical instruction, without hearing it, and without applying it to your life. You will never succeed. It's not going to happen. Point number six, last point. Sensitive little snowflakes hinder honest, open communications, undermining our relationships with others. Think about that. I'm going to say that one more time. Sensitive little snowflakes hinder honest, open communications, undermining our relationships with others. I'm going to show you that with Ahab again here. 1 Kings 18, look at verse 17. So we already read about his ordeal with Ben-Hadad. Now we're going to jump down to verse 17. It says, and it came to pass when Ahab saw Elijah, that Ahab said unto him, art thou he that troubleth Israel? Now, if you know the prophet Elijah, was he somebody that would hold back truth? Not at all. He would tell you, just like Micaiah would, how it is. And what's Ahab's response to Elijah? You've turned this whole country upside down. You trouble all my people. It's not me and my policies. It's you, Elijah. Verse 18, and he answered, I have not troubled Israel, but thou in thy father's house, in that ye have forsaken the commandments of the Lord, and thou hast followed Balaam. So Elijah's like, hey, you're following the devil. That's your problem. You're the one that troubles Israel. But you know what? When you're a sensitive little snowflake, you can't handle that kind of truth. You come to church and I say, hey, this is of the devil, and you mock and you want to get mad and you want to cry about it. You know what? You're going to be like Ahab. You will get destroyed. It's a fact. It's just the way of life. It's the way it works. Now jump to verse 20 real quick. It says, and Ahab said to Elijah, hast thou found me, O mine enemy? And he answered, I have found thee because thou hast sold thyself to work evil in the sight of the Lord. Now think about that. Ahab's sensitivity hindered his relationship with a great man of God. The man of God who was so great, to whom the Lord would look down and say, you know what? You're just coming up with me. You're going to go up by a whirlwind, Elijah. Think about that. What manner of man was Elijah? What manner of man was Ahab? Ahab had an opportunity there to get right, to hear the greatest, I mean, just great biblical insight, wisdom, and preaching. But he couldn't because he was sensitive, because he perceived him as some great king. He perceived his kingdom as some great kingdom when in fact it wasn't. It was nothing. So we're going to go to the solution here real quick. Go to, let's see, I'm going to have you go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. The Bible says in Proverbs 9:8, reprove not a scorner, lest he hate thee. Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. And this is just a fact. It's not confusing. You reprove a scorner, guess what? He's going to hate you. You know what Elijah did? He reproved a scorner. Ahab was a scorner. He's mocking. He has no interest in the things of God. And so Elijah knows that, preaches against him, and guess what? Ahab hated him. But the Bible says, you know what? Rebuke a wise man, and he will love thee. That's the agenda. That's the attitude that we, as God's people, need to develop and have. That when we hear rebuke, we just take it. Because when you do that, you will grow. You know the people that used to say, no pain, no gain? There's some truth to that. Not just physically, but also spiritually. It's very true. Let's see here. Let's talk about the solution here. So we got to move on because I got to be done. So you're there in 2 Timothy chapter 2. I'm going to read for you Proverbs 10:12. Here's the solution. Here's how we deal with this. You don't have to turn there, but Proverbs 10:12 says this, hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. You know what? As God's people, we're going to do things that offend each other, say things that offend each other from time to time. And we just need to learn to love the brethren. We need to learn to love God's word, love the brethren, and just put it aside. You know, is it really worth fighting about? Now, I don't have a lot of examples in here other than, you know, the people that have already left. So you guys are making this kind of thing hard on me, which I like. It's very good, right? But let's say in the future, you know, as we grow, you know, people want to fight. Well, that's my chair. I sit there every day. You know what? We've had somebody in here that has done that. We had a member who brought some guests here, and there were people that used to come to this church, and they stood right there at that wall like this, looking at them, just like this, shaking the head, just glaring at them because they sat in their chair. How the hell are they supposed to know? They've never been here before. Right. Now, it's bad enough that I'm going to offend them during the sermon. It's just a fact.
Right?
Right? let alone having our own people that come to this church regularly do it. You know, I mean, it's like a double whammy. But that's what I'm talking about. There, you know, you can go to this church over here when it opens up. And you know what you're going to find? You're going to find people with their noses straight to the ceiling. You sit in their pew. I've told you the story when I went to visit John Hagee's church, right? And a guy was like, hey, I have to sit there. I sit there every service. And he said it just like that, like he was selling Grey Poupon. Seriously, this is how he talked. He says, I sit there every service. I have to sit there. And I said, is your name on the seat right here? That's what I said to him. I didn't care. Because I was easily offended back then, too. I was like, well, we'll just go. But that's what I'm talking about. That's the type of attitude that we need to check and always, you know, be pushing against. Make sure we don't become like that, okay? So hatred stirreth up strife. So when you have people that are just always offended, they're offended because they hate what you say. Just like Ahab was offended and he hated what Micaiah said. Right? Isn't that what he said about Micaiah? There's one guy that will tell us the truth, Jehoshaphat, but I hate him. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. We need to learn to love the right things. 2 Timothy 2, look at verse 3. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. I love how Paul puts this here. He's talking about us like we're soldiers, and we really are. We really are. And when you study the life of a soldier, maybe because I've been a soldier, I understand this very clearly. You cannot win war. You cannot win a battle. You cannot win a fight being sensitive. It doesn't work like that. Because that's basically, you know that our military right now, with all these regulations and, oh, you can't say this, you can't say this about the queer, you can't say this about these people, you know, this politically correctness, you know what that does? It breeds a society of weak, snot-nosed, sniveling, little, sensitive snowflakes. Yeah. Yeah. That's what it does. And so someday, I have a feeling that our military will go to war with another country, maybe like Russia or China, and get over there, and I'm offended. I heard that the Dagestanis and the Russians don't like queers. That offends me. And it's going to take their fighting spirit away from them. And they're not going to be able to win. It's where we're headed. He says, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. You need to endure the hardness of preaching. You need to endure the hardness of just tough doctrines. You need to learn to endure that week after week, month after month, year after year. Otherwise, look, you're not going to be a very good soldier. You're going to wind up going AWOL. Verse 4, no man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. And again, it always goes back to selfless service. It goes back to removing your wants and putting God's needs first. Amen. And you know what? God needs you to be here for his people. God needs you to read his word and go show somebody in the community, hey, you are on your way to hell. I'm here to help you. I can tell you the truth. Verse 5, and if a man also strive for masteries, yet is he not crowned, except he strive lawfully. So a lot of these people that think, you know what, I'm just going to do things my own way because I know the whole matter. I've got Matthew 18 figured out. I'm the best. I'm righteous. I'm ultra separated. I'm the man. In reality, they're doing nothing. They're sensitive, and they're always going to be that way. And all they do is just make it super uncomfortable for people. Go to Romans 15. Because you have to walk on eggshells around them every time you're around them. I don't like living like that. Does anybody in here like living like that? You know what it's like to work with these people in your job that are always going to HR, always going to EEO, always filing a complaint. Right? They're a nightmare to work around. When you get off work, that's all you can think about. They plague you after hours. And you're not even getting paid for it. Right? You know it's true. So let's make sure we don't be like that as God's people. And that's why I love being a preacher, because when I see that, I can just be like, ooh, I can twist that thing. There's no EEO here. There's no HR, right? What are you going to do, tell Jesus on me? He's going to be like, hey, I told him to say that. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering. You've got no leg to stand on. He knows the whole matter, not you. Amen. Romans 15, look at verse 1. It says this. We then that are strong ought to bear the infirmities of the weak and not to please ourselves. Our goal should not be to remain weak, but to remain strong. And the way you're going to do that is, like I've been saying all along, is not to have the agenda, not to have the goal to just please ourselves all the time. We need to work together. We need to put other people's needs above our own. Verse 2, let every one of us please his neighbor for his good or for, yeah, for this, his good to edification. Verse 3, for even Christ pleased not himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of them that reproach thee fell on me. And that's why Paul said in Philippians, hey, let this mind be in you, which was in Christ Jesus. Right? That selfless service mindset. Not the sensitive snowflake, just garbage mindset that's out there today. Let's see here. One more. Philippians 2:4, look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Galatians 6:2 says, bear ye one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. When we decide to do that, you know what? That's when the sensitivity is going to go away. That's when you're going to become a person who is strong, who is able to receive the meat, who is able to grow. Now, last, I just wanted to kind of leave you with this. So we started off talking about Ahab, right? We started talking about Ahab and Jehoshaphat. Now, the Bible says in the New Testament that we are kings and we are priests. We are a royal priesthood. So don't ever read these stories in the Old Testament about the kings and say, there's nothing in there for me. No, there's tons in there for you because you are a king according to God. You are a king and you are a priest. So you need to know what these kings did and what they did right. And you know what Ahab did? A whole lot of wrong. Yep. And so as a king, you need to be able to look at that king's life and say, I don't want to be a king like that. I don't want to be a priest like that. That's how these things apply to you. And you, when you put Jehoshaphat next to Ahab, you'll see that Jehoshaphat, he was a successful king. God helped him out. He did have success. Yes, I understand he had the issue of yoking up with these bad guys, right? But you know what? When it was all said and done, he was a good king to Judah. Why? Because he was willing to receive rebuke. Look, it was Jehoshaphat that said, hey, come on, Ahab. Isn't there a real man of the Lord here besides these 400 guys that are all just agreeing with you? He wanted to hear the truth. Now, was the end of him or of his kingdom the same as Ahab? No. Because he's written down as a good king. Ahab was weak. Ahab was a wreck. Why? Because he was sensitive. Because he wanted to protect the image that he built. He was only concerned with how he looked in the community, how he looked in his kingdom. And when other people who were really legitimately strong challenged that and he knew that, he fell apart. And he wound up losing his life over it. Jehoshaphat could take truth without being offended. Ahab could not. And that's the difference between those two kings. So you as a king, which one do you want to be? Because you know what? If you're like Ahab or you decide someday you're going to go down that road, then you can expect to go the same path that he did. Spiritually speaking, getting shot through the heart, getting smoked, getting completely wrecked by the enemy. That's what will happen. I see it time and time again. You guys have all seen it. It's a fact. It's truth. You know, we need to aim to make sure that we're like these good kings in the Bible as opposed to the Ahabs, okay? And so that's the whole entire point of the sermon. Don't be a sensitive snowflake, okay? All right, let's bow our heads and have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, for the truths in your Bible. I just pray that you bless the soul winning, the fellowship after the service, Lord, and bring us back all tonight ready to learn. And